Welcome back to the whole show. 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, this is where we take a look at the top stories trending nationally in the sports world with the lunch rush. And now the Colts make a big decision and an interesting one following that up. The Colts have decided to fire Frank Reich as their head coach. Maybe one of their worst offensive performances in certainly in recent memory. I mean, it was a bad look for them. They move on from him, who was with them, what, since 2018, Angel? So he was there for a little bit. They lose 26-3 to the Patriots, though. And I suppose that's enough for them to move on. However, they've named Jeff Saturday as their interim head coach. He's obviously a stud with the Colts. He was 47 years old, a six-time Pro Bowler center, played 13 seasons for the Colts. He's an ESPN analyst right now. He was a consultant for the team once. He's in its Ring of Honor. Is that a weird move? Like, he wasn't on the staff before, and now he's coming in to take over as the interim head coach.
Yeah, he has no prior NFL coaching that I could find. You said he was coaching high school football. He was a sports analyst for some time, and yeah, now you're the coach of an NFL team.
He was head coach for the Hebron Christian Academy in Georgia for three seasons. Kind of like an Ed McCaffrey situation, only even skipping the college.
He went to the highest of levels.
Is that, I wonder if that's a realistic, you know, obviously the Colts owner, Jim Irsay, is probably buddies with Jeff Saturday. Saturday was a part of some really great seasons with Peyton. He was Peyton Manning center. I mean, that was a great thing for a long time. But I just think that that's interesting. Who's the person you're going to call? And maybe this is a good thing. I don't know that we're reaching out to guys that are not just part of this never-ending cycle of coaches. Let's reach out and see if there's anything worth exploring here with a guy that doesn't have any coaching experience in the NFL. Tom Brady. Tom freaking Brady, Angel. He hits 100,000 passing yards, but then he leads the Bucks to a last-second, last-minute win. And, I mean, didn't you? You could see the stress and the relief. You could almost visibly see it coming off of him as the Buccaneers found a way to get the come-from-behind victory, 16-13, over the Los Angeles Rams. How about that, man? That was crazy.
Vintage Tom Brady.
Vintage Tom Brady. I mean, everything that's gone on about, you know, the Ravens game last week was rough, and then the divorce being finalized with Giselle after 13 years of marriage. Brady got some kind of that magic back, and he looked happy, too. Brady said, that was awesome. That was blanking awesome. He had a 15-yard pass to running back Leonard Fournette in the second quarter, which that was a history maker, but then the real fun stuff was what he was able to do at the end with 44 seconds left against the defending Super Bowl champs. He kept driving down the field, and they found a way to do it. That was nuts, man. Thought for sure this is over. Bucks are not going to win this game. Got it done. The Jets, they found a way to beat the Buffalo Bills. It was a slow start for them, but they win 20-17 over the Bills. And it doesn't feel like this is the old Jets, or does it? They're just winning. Like, why are they winning? I keep looking at this team going, what do they have? Just kind of a solid defense?
I'd say it's a pretty solid defense. They did just lose one of their tackles. I saw that earlier on Twitter. I'll look that up, but Sauce Gardner continuing to show that he is a very impressive rookie, mm-hmm. although there's been controversy with his holding, not holding, PI stuff. I know the Broncos experienced that a couple weeks ago, but it's a young team. It's a new head coach that they're just rallying behind, and they're winning games.
I mean, yeah, you look at everything else. Zach Wilson.
He's not very impressive, but they're winning games.
154 yards, a touchdown, like whatever, didn't throw a pick.
I think it's more about NFL teams are figuring out Josh Allen. And I get it. It's just the Dolphins and the Jets. But he struggled yesterday.
He struggled yesterday. And he admitted that. But, I mean, the game before that, they played, what, the Packers? He was threw for 218 yards and two touchdowns and two picks. Yeah, he didn't look great against the Packers either. I don't know. The last 2 weeks have slowed down for him. You know, he was great against Kansas City. He was amazing against Pittsburgh. But, yeah, Green Bay and the Jets have confused him a little bit.
Now they're 0-2 in the division.
Interesting. Yeah, that's... I'm not ready to go there yet as far as solving Josh Allen.
Well,
but
figuring him out just a bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Making him look human.
But the Jets, listen, they're 6-3. This is a decent team right now. And, you know, they're finding ways. It's not like I can't point to one thing. A defense that can kind of play tough when they need to. But outside of that, what do they have? Who are they? That's crazy. It was a weird weekend. How about that? Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins gets the win, and he beats his old team, and he brings back the infamous, you like that, too. I like that he brought that back. That's been far away from us for so long, and we remember that with Washington, and we kind of thought, man, Kirk is going to be a stud in this league. Didn't really do much after that, but he brought it back.
You like it on 3-1-2-3. You like it.
Yeah, and the Vikings are what 7-1, and they get a 2017 win. It was a weird weekend though. Like nothing made a lot of sense. You know, you go back to the Eagles Texans game. That was closer than we all thought. Eagles find a way to win 29-17, but still closer than we thought. Dolphins and the Bears, kind of this back and forth situation. Justin Fields, you know, he ran for a lot. He ran for 178 yards. He just ran all over the place. Tyreek Hill was a monster.
Over 1,000 yards for Tyreek Hill.
Already. And it's just, what, end of week nine? Packers lose to the Lions. They don't even score double digits. Aaron Rodgers throws three interceptions. And this looks really bad. Tell you what, the Packers have a worse situation than what the Broncos have. Because it's getting worse, at least. What else? The Colts lose so bad they fire their head coach. You can only use the quarterback as a scapegoat so often. We talked about the Bills-Jets game. That was weird. Raiders, Josh McDaniels, his second stint as a head coach. They're 2-6. They lost to the Jags 27-20. Seahawks beat the Cardinals.
Geno keeps winning.
Is Pete Carroll the coach of the year?
He's in contention. I think guys with like
your
Robert
boy
Sala,
might be in the mix. Robert
Brian
Sala,
Dable, Mike McDaniel.
Dable's going to be in the mix. Carroll, though, to me, you lost your franchise.
Everyone had them as like a bottom five team.
You lost not only Russell Wilson, but you lost Bobby Wagner. You lost your two staples on both sides of the ball, and you're 6-3 with Geno. They wrote me off, but I didn't write back Smith as your quarterback. And you're 6-3. Isn't that going to be it, though? The Seahawks go to the playoffs. They get the Broncos draft pick. And then Pete Carroll's the coach of the year. What the hell is happening? Obviously, we know about the Rams-Bucks game. That was crazy. Two teams, both desperate to try to figure it out. Sean McVay's like, dude, we got to change something. Something's got to change. Their offense is terrible, save for Cooper Kupp. 8 receptions, 127 yards, and a touchdown. He had that one long one, though. And then the Titans-Chiefs game goes to overtime. Did you predict that?
I did not.
Malik Willis threw for a whopping 80 yards. I mean, what? So I'm getting texters and Chiefs fans. Come on, here we go. You show sure the Bills are the best team. Yes, the Chiefs beat the Titans, but they barely beat the Titans. And again, Derrick Henry was good, but was he? He was 115 yards. For Derrick Henry, that's kind of like an average running back 70-yard game.
Yeah, and on 17 carries,
right.
For him, that's like, holy cow.
Yeah. So I mean,
he's their entire offense.
He is the entire offense. All you got to do is try to slow him down a little bit, and they. I mean, 115 yards. It's not world breaking.
No, and he's going to get 20, 25 carries every single game, and you're going to have to stop him a lot.
So are you if you're a Chiefs fan, are you looking at that going, okay, a win's a win? But they had a quarterback that didn't even throw for 100 yards. 5 of 16, 80 yards passing.
I think for Chiefs fans, as long as you have 15, you're going to be just fine. Because
and
he once again put up the numbers.
His running at the end especially, he had 6 carries for 63 yards, but they couldn't tackle him. But it didn't even look like he was running that fast. Just could not figure it. He was just elusive.
He runs kind of weird, too.
He does. He's elusive. They couldn't figure it out. But the Chiefs win, and they're 6-2. And the Broncos have the Titans next week. You think they might want to stop Derrick Henry?
Might be the game plan.
That seems like that should be the game plan. What a weekend in the NFL. How you doing, by the way, Angel? We haven't talked about the 2-point conversion.
You can say it.
The loss.
Yeah.
Alabama lost to LSU.
Yep.
Playoff hopes?
Probably gone.
You are surprisingly, you're almost too calm about this. Almost serial murdery calm.
Well, given my time as a Bama fan, when we have a loss during the regular season, it's tough. You'd like to still have a chance, and you had a chance if you win this game. But I don't. Looking at this team all year, they've always kind of felt immature, is my best word for it that I can say on the air. But the OC and the DC are just bad. There's no accountability on the coaching staff. The players, I kind of feel like this NIL stuff is getting to them, that they just, I can just go to Bama and make all this money. I can be a 5-star and still make it. No, Bama got to the way it is because of players coming in and committing to making themselves better. It's not just an NFL pipeline. You can't go to Bama thinking that. You have to come and compete. And unfortunately for guys like Bryce Young and Will Anderson, their season gets wasted because of the inept coaching. And so it's a tough... Yeah. And this is on Saban, too, because he's the one that hired these coordinators. Bill O'Brien, Pete Golding, goodbye. Please leave. I don't want any more.
I mean, when you're Bama and you don't make top four, change is probably coming in some fashion. Not with Saban, obviously.
I think he's going to clean house.
Maybe.
He needs to clean house and get a bunch of old coaches in there that have either coached at Bama before or understand the process that goes into it. Because these players, they're not getting the same. They're not being held to the standards that they should be. And there's former Bama players all over Twitter saying the exact same thing, that this team doesn't have an alpha. They don't have that dog in them, as they say.
Well, and LSU had a dog, and Brian Kelly going for 2 in that. Oh, my gosh.
That's why if you make that call because of that situation. You win the game,
wow.
Storm the field, it's great. You lose, oh, my gosh, Brian Kelly, that was the dumbest thing you ever did.
Keep going blow for blow in overtime.
You say the same thing about Saban going for 2 late in that game.
Yep. Well, the AP Top 25 is out. We won't get the new college football playoff ranking until tomorrow. We got Georgia in there at number 1.
How about that game?
How about that? How about it, man? Ohio State sitting at number 2.
They close against Northwestern for most of that game.
I mean, and, you know, again, the Georgia just makes a statement, too, on that other side with Tennessee. That was huge. Ohio State. Then Michigan. TCU.
There you go.
Sitting
all that whining last week, and here you are now.
Let me just say something. Just to take this back locally, you know who was tied 6-6 at the half with TCU to start the season, the first game of the year?
That was the Buffaloes.
That was Carl Durrell's Colorado Buffaloes.
Could have stood in the way of history.
I mean, come on. That was when I was like, okay, what's going on here? The Buffs aren't that bad. And then they just, that was it. The rest of the way, it was awful. Oregon, what'd I say? They needed to throttle CU and let all the other pieces fall where they may. That was kind of the perfect weekend for them. That was the perfect weekend for the Ducks. They needed Tennessee to lose or somebody. Tennessee loses. They needed Alabama or somebody to move out. Well, Oregon jumps up to 6th. They have an opportunity here to get into the top 4. It's there. And they'll have the schedule to help them do it, because they do have, you know, Washington, whatever, but Utah's a top 15 team.
And Oregon State to finish.
And Oregon State, who's ranked, right? So, I don't know. There's a chance. I didn't think there was any way all of this would go down the way it did last week for the Ducks. Trust me, I'm rooting for Oregon. I am. I like Pac. Well, I'm Pac. You know, the conferences I like the most are the ones of the teams that I cover. And obviously, the Buffs certainly don't threaten these opportunities. So, the Ducks are fun to watch. And boy, they lit up the Buffs, didn't they?
Yep.
Yikes. So we'll see how this one unfolds. No, Oregon State's not ranked anymore, though, right? Didn't Washington just flip-flop them?
Yep.
After Washington beat them. So Washington's 24, I think. But still, so there you go. I mean, either way, now you got a ranked team. Go beat the hell out of them, which they should. I watched the end of that Washington-Oregon State game on Friday night. The lights went out in the stadium.
Yeah, they were dealing with some weather up there.
Yeah, and they ended up having to shut down. Like, they didn't get him back on like 15, 20 minutes later. So that was kind of a weird situation. But fun college football weekend, fun NFL weekend. I don't know that anything makes sense anymore. I mean, I guess that's kind of how it goes.
Oh, it's lining up for the good back half of the season, for the NFL at least.
Who's the best team in the NFL?
Gotta say the Eagles.
Are the Eagles the best team?
I think
or
so.
Or the Chiefs?
I think it's the Eagles.
And the Eagles, you know, again, you're undefeated. They have the Commanders coming up. They should win that game.
I don't know. Heineke's looking good.
Yeah, maybe. That will be interesting. I like the Eagles to win that. Then you're at the Colts. Get past the Commanders, and you probably should beat the Colts with Jeff Saturday as the head coach. I mean, what kind of experience there? Then you have a Packers team that's dying. So, I suppose so.
Well, he's got two more matchups with the Giants and the Cowboys. So let's look at that last six games for the Eagles for something to happen.
What a wild weekend in the NFL. And the Broncos weren't a part of it. Getting back into practice today, Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos was tweeting out that, hey, Justin Simmons and these defensive players said not one player came out after the Chubb trade and thought that they weren't trying to make the playoffs. It's all nice to say that, but what does it really mean? They are at Tennessee coming up this weekend. It's the morning game, so it'll be an 11 o'clock game. Can Russell Wilson get it going? Can he turn this thing around? You saw Tom Brady maybe flip the script on his season. We didn't see that with Aaron Rodgers. Will you see it with Russell Wilson? Get this. Russell Wilson is aware of the comedy, the poking fun of him and his social media. What does he have to say about it? Let's talk about it next. 23 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hull Show. Levin's Heating and Cooling. They'll get that heater rocking for you. Make sure maybe you need some tweaks to it. Maybe you need a brand new system. A couple of cold days last week and you realize what you have isn't going to cut it. Talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-567-0798. Russell Wilson has not, you know, publicly talked much about the poking fun of him on Twitter and all that stuff. He was kind of asked about it. Jeff Legwold of ESPN, the Broncos beat writer with ESPN, quoted Russell saying, quote, listen, you're aware just because of how the world works when talking about Twitter. That's about as much as he gave. Then he goes, I think more than anything else, I've been trying to just stay focused on our team and focus on getting better as a group and not worrying about the outside noise. The thing is, we control the outside by how we play. That's for everybody. That's starting with me and starting with the whole team and our coaches. That's right. I mean, you can shut this all down. You go out, you perform well against the Titans, it slows down again. You slow everything down piece by going out and winning football games.
You ever done anything dangerous?
And instead, it's going to be that. The guy can't tweet that he's freaking working, and people get mad now.
Not on a Friday afternoon, Brady. We're all going home.
Oh, my gosh. Like, whatever happened to
was he working Friday, and then he got on a plane to Mexico the next day?
He's probably working. I just don't have an issue. It's just, again, it's you see that tweet, you scroll down, and you move on with your life. But instead, it's a source of anger. And, it's Friday. I'm ready to not work. And he's tweeting that. Well, then don't like it. Don't follow it. Don't read it.
Was he doing exercises on the plane
probably.
To Mexico?
He probably was.
You think Sierra was, like, counting him down?
Yeah.
Here we go, Russ. Come on, two more.
I bet they were running on the beach. They were running in the sand.
Oh, sand training. That's
sand
fun.
Training is exactly what they were doing. Again, you could be like me and be annoyed with how people are annoyed with it, or you can be annoyed with Russ. It doesn't matter. If he goes out and performs a little bit of what we saw like he did against Jacksonville, take that against Tennessee and get a win, then, you know, we're talking about it less and less and less. You know, the high knees thing kind of went away after the Jacksonville win. That stuff will go away. It will seem like a distant memory if you go out and win, beat the Titans, and then maybe follow that up, get back to 500.
Are we just waiting for the next thing to say, thing that he says this week? He has a press conference this week. He'll say something, and we'll carry that story.
I'm not, but I just think that there are certain media outlets that enjoy the clickbait. They enjoy the, Russ said it's hot outside. I'm going to rip that one to shreds because there's nothing else going on.
Well, it's November in Colorado, Russ. Why is it hot outside?
See, exactly.
Well, that's just a fair question.
He's just assuming that I'm not hot?
You don't know about weather, Russ?
He's just assuming that the players aren't hot either? Like, come on. Like, that's how the guy tweets that he works. What are you saying, and I'm not? Sounds like whoever's, like, mad about that's a little defensive on that. Like, you're saying you're working? What are you trying to mean, Russ? You saying I'm not working?
I mean, it kind of comes off that way. You tweet that Tuesday afternoon, nothing. Friday at like 3 o'clock, no.
Okay, let me ask you this. I got up really early. I get up early every day.
Oh, okay.
And I go to CSU practice before I come to work sometimes. I haven't been in a while. But I tweeted out when it was still dark. I said, getting up, rise and grind. You have a problem with that?
No.
But why do you have a problem with Russ doing it?
Well, you don't do it every day.
That's true, but I'm going to start doing it now.
But when you do, like, I'm like, okay, that's his job. I know he already gets up early anyway because he's crazy, but...
Yes, I am crazy.
If you're going to do something with your time, do it productive. It helps your job. It helps you report on stuff. Keeps you up to date.
I'm going to start tweeting more.
Do it.
Like a Saturday night.
You'll get Tanner more upset.
Saturday night, I'm going to tweet, I'm grinding. What are you doing with your life?
Well, you posted on Saturday you're watching the Nuggets game. You had football on. That's grinding.
CSU. I mean, everyone knows that follows me. I've been covering CSU closely for a very long time. And then the Nuggets are on, so yeah, I got a little mixed coverage. Plus the LSU-Alabama thing, I mean, there was a lot going on.
No, I mean, you only have two eyes and
that's
a couple
true.
Of screens. Got to make the most of your time.
You got to make the best of it. I almost went upstairs and got the iPad, but I'm like, I'll just flip back and forth. We'll be fine. 33 minutes after the hour, Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, is coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, we're live from the Allo Communications Studios. And it is a monster Monday night, college basketball galore, man. It's going to be so much fun. All the local teams we chat about will be in action tonight, especially right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The UNC Bears start their season against the number three ranked, this Houston team. I mean, we know this Houston team is going to be very good. The number three ranked Houston Cougars, and calling that game tonight on 103.1 and 1310 and 1310kfk.com. The voice of the UNC Bears men's basketball team, Jerry Schimmel. Jerry, my friend, oh my goodness, look at that. Susan and Cheryl just absolutely, oh, and then they just went quiet just like that. But great applause by them.
Brady, how you doing? Good to talk with you.
Hey, man, I'm ready. We missed you, Jerry, of course. I know you were hanging out at all these ballparks all summer and such, but we're happy to get you back covering this UNC Bears basketball team.
Well, you know what? I'm excited to be back. I really am. I've been looking forward to this for months, actually, in the middle of summertime when I realized the Rockies weren't going anywhere. I was looking forward to doing basketball again. So, and then, you know, just to look at that team and the success they had last year and going to the Big Sky tournament in the championship game and almost, you know, making the tournament, plus some freshmen they got coming in. Just a great deal of excitement, I think, for everybody with UNC men's basketball, especially me. I can't wait to get it going. I know tonight will be tough against Houston, but this team could be something to reckon with as the season goes on, Brady.
Yeah, and what's cool about this is, I mean, again, it's the non-conference schedule is good for many reasons, but, you know, for the Bears' sake and in the Big Sky Conference, the at-large bid stuff isn't really a conversation we're having. So these games are more or less about getting yourself ready for Big Sky play, really, and making sure you're battle-tested by the time you get to the tournament.
Yes, exactly right. So that strength of schedule in the non-conference preseason doesn't really mean anything. Even if you get beat by University of Houston, which is the number three ranked team in the country, it doesn't matter because you got to get to the dance by being the Big Sky champion. So I think what it does is, well, I think the number one priority is you get some cash from a team like Houston. You get some cash from a team like Baylor, which they'll play next week. But you get that experience. You play with the big boys, and you're going to get beat up a little bit at the beginning of the season. It takes some lumps, but you're just going to be that much better. And I think especially with this team, Brady, because they're so young, they've got four freshmen, all of whom are going to play at some point. Steve Smiley would talk about that tonight in the pregame show. He's really high on this group of four. So as they kind of get assimilated to Division I basketball, they'll just get better and better, in my opinion.
Yeah, he has talked highly, right, Jerry, about these freshmen. Yeah. I mean, coach speak, I don't think Smiley, you know, basketball coaches in particular don't do a lot of coach speak, but when they do, you kind of read between the lines, and when they keep bringing stuff up, that's when you go, okay, he's really excited about these guys. He has talked about those freshmen a lot this offseason.
You know what I'm thinking about, Bryce? I've been at this for ever since I saw the practice a couple of weeks ago was, man, when these four guys are seniors, what kind of, hopefully they'll be here for 4 years, what kind of team they're going to have, because you obviously don't have a crystal ball, but you can kind of get a pretty good idea. If these four guys stay together for 4 years, this could be a big, big run for UNC. They're really talented. And when a coach says, hey, I got four freshmen I really like, that's one thing. But when he says, I got four freshmen I love, and they're all going to play as freshmen, then you know you've got something. So I'm excited about seeing them. Again, they're going to take their lumps early on, no question about that. But in the long run, I think these guys are going to be really fun to watch.
Well, and obviously you're getting Dalen Kuntz and Matt Johnson. Those two guys, we've talked so much about them throughout the offseason, throughout last season as well. I mean, such a big perk. We're pumped to see what those guys can do.
Yeah, no question. And Steve has said that too. I'd say as our at the beginning of the season anyway, as our backcourt goes, we'll probably go earlier in the year getting these guys, these young guys adjusted to playing at this level. So, yeah, it's the best backcourt in the Big Sky, and I think that's the biggest reason they got a couple votes for being the Big Sky champion and voted being second in the Big Sky behind Montana State again is because of that backcourt. And Dalen Kuntz is probably the favorite to be the player of the year, probably preseason favorite to be the player of the year in the Big Sky. And if he doesn't get that, I think there'd be a lot of people that would be surprised.
Yeah, no, I think high hopes for Dalen and what he can do even at the next level. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, Jerry, just about like, hey, what David Roddy did, you know, the year before his junior year and then a COVID year, whatever. You know, he was maybe an NBA talent. Who knows? Maybe he could try out for a team. But then it was last year that put him over the top and got him into the first round. And you know, Dalen's looking at that going, okay, I know they're two different schools and two different situations. But if I can go really have a monster season like that, who knows? I might be able to get drafted.
No question. I think that's exactly what Dalen's looking at, too, and it's why he came back. He could have gone overseas and played. He had a lot of interest, and he could have come out before this year, after last season, and done that. But he wanted that shot at the NBA and felt like if he came back and had the big year, maybe was that conference player of the year, that could become a second-round NBA draft pick. So no matter what happens with Dalen, we know this, he's going to play some. If he wants to play professional basketball, he's going to. He can play overseas tomorrow. He's that kind of talent. But he's got that dream of being in the NBA. And so I think that the choice was, hey, come back. This is my best opportunity to make the NBA, is to come back and play this final year of eligibility with UNC.
Talking to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, and we get set to have that game tonight right here on KFKA. Very much looking forward to that. Going back to the freshman, Jerry, who do you think, and just, you know, you going to practice and talking to coach a little bit, he talks highly of all of them. He kind of lumps them together, but who do you think that freshman is that will rise to the top and maybe be the best player of the group? You got Juju Ramirez, Langston Reynolds, I mean, Brock Wisney. I mean, some really nice players here. And again, Smiley's so excited about all of them. Who do you think's going to be the one that maybe stands out the most?
You know, I'm going to answer that in two ways. Number one, I think the guy that might stand out initially would be Caleb Shaw, the freshman from Phoenix. He can really shoot it, Brady. I mean, he can really shoot the basketball, and that's what they need. They're a three-point shooting team. They're a very good offensive team. Steve likes to play up-tempo and give that guy coming up a secondary break that opportunity to hit three. I think he might have the biggest impact early. I think the guy that might be the best at four would be Juju Ramirez, the 6'9 freshman from Lawrence, Kansas, who just got tremendous upside. I mean, he's a legit 6'9". He's going to fill out a little bit. He is really athletic. He can shoot a little bit, but I think he's going to be a better shooter as he gets more time in the Big Sky and the rest of the preseason time. So I think eventually he'll probably be the best of that group. But I think the guy, just have a hunch that Caleb Shaw, especially the way Steve talks about him, might have the biggest impact early on.
All right, Jerry, talk to us about the big man on this team. That's obviously, I don't know if it's a concern, but it's a question mark. You know, you're losing Kuor John Kooch from last season, and you're looking around at guys, you know, the Theo Hughes, he's 7 foot, 260 pounds. He's a monster. And I know Jamel Melvin is out for a while. We'll see what that looks like as far as him coming back. But who's starting as the big guy for this team?
Yeah, I think tonight it's going to be Theo Hughes. And that's the kind of what Steve hinted at the other day when I talked to him. So that makes sense. He's been around the program a little bit more. I think maybe eventually Jamel Melvin, by the way, is coming along much quicker with his rehab than anybody anticipated and might be available when the conference season starts in a couple weeks. So that's good news on that front. He's way ahead of schedule with his rehab on that broken bone. But Theo Hughes would probably be the starter. Melvin maybe eventually. And then I think they're going to ask Juju Ramirez to play center. I think just because out of necessity, he's a natural four, but he can play five. And the word is that when Steve talking about that, he was all excited. He thought, hey, I just want an opportunity to play, whether that's the one, two, three, or four positions, I want to get on the court. So I think that's probably what you're looking at. And you got another guy, Riley Abercrombie, who's a kind of a swing guy, a three and a four. He'll be in the middle a little bit, but that's where they lack a little bit right now. That's the question mark right now, is along that front line, especially in that center spot.
Well, I'll be interested to see kind of what they're able to do there. I know that was the big question in the offseason and what that would ultimately look like. But at the end of the day, as we mentioned with Dalen and Matt, you feel really good about your guard play. I know Dalton Connect, they're expecting some big things from as well. But you have the pieces here, Jerry, to really make this season a special year.
I think so too, Brady. I'm with you on that. And again, I think they're going to get beat up a little bit early on simply because they have to play a lot of young guys. But that's going to pay off for them. And I think the young guys are not only talented, but I think they're a fearless bunch as well. They're like, hey, let's go. Let's roll this ball out there and see what we can do against the likes of Houston and Baylor and some other schools. So, yeah, I think they're excited about getting – I know they're excited about getting going tonight. They've been practicing for a month against each other, and it's time now to play somebody else. But you're right. I think this has the makings of a really special season. And, again, if it's not this season, you're going to lose your backcourt after this year. But, Dan, those four freshmen are really going to be exciting for the next 4 years.
Yeah, no question about it. It sneaks up on us, doesn't it? That transition period between football and basketball is always just madness. But we look forward to it. Jerry, what time do you get rocking tonight before tip-off?
Yeah. Yeah, 5:30, 6 o'clock tip off, and we'll get that pregame show going and at 5:30, and we'll tip it off at 6, and we'll see what happens against the number 3 team in the country.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm looking forward to this team, but I'm looking forward to hearing your voice back on with the UNC Bears basketball team. So have a wonderful call tonight, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Brady. Thank you, sir.
All right, Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears men's basketball team. 5:30, we get that pregame show rolling for you here on KFKA with that opening tip-off just after 6 o'clock. 12:48 the time. Don't forget, we have, again, we keep it live and local here. We're talking to Jerry about UNC basketball. I've got the Clay Millen show coming up at 1 o'clock, so we're looking forward to that. I thought this offense took some nice strides for Colorado State. We'll see how Clay's filling with everything at this point. Only a few weeks to go for Colorado State for football, really, and we'll see if they can find a way to have a positive ending. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
.12:54 the time. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We will have the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll kind of recap that San Jose State game. Getting to know Clay, we'll have that segment for you coming up in the second segment of that program. And then turn the page and get set for the Border War. We've got it going. Kevin Lytle tweeting out, I thought this was interesting, that Jay Norvell was talking about Sonny Lubick being there on hand, speaking to the CSU football team today about the border war, sharing stories and importance of the game. So I'm very much looking forward to talking to Clay about what that meant to have Sonny Lubick there, who is no stranger to that rivalry at all.
No, the bronze boot up for grabs once again. Looked it up. Wyoming's won 5 of the last 6 matchups in this one.
Save for the Adazio year.
Save for that
in
2020. Year.
Yeah. That was the one bright spot for Stephen Adazio, was finding a way.
Stephen, though.
Yeah. Stephen Adazio is finding
Not
a way.
Stephen?
Not Stephen. That's no. If he would have won a couple more, he could have earned Stephen. But that's, I mean, dude, I'll tell you what. You beat Wyoming. That covers up a lot of stuff.
With Boise State losing over the weekend,
oh,
Wyoming puts themselves in a spot for the Mountain West title.
They really do. And wouldn't that be perfect for Rams fans, though? You're the one that plays spoiler. You win the boot. It's been a rough year for you. But they're, 8-point favorites right now in Wyoming?
Really?
It's not that much. And I'm telling you, CSU's offense, I know they only scored 16, but they were moving the ball. The first 4 or 5 weeks, dude, they snapped it, and they couldn't do anything with it. Obviously, Clay, you know, that offensive lineman running into Clay, he just looked, I felt so bad for him, dude, for both guys. The lineman, too, because he looked so sad.
Right. I mean, that happens, but
he
like,
looks so. He's like,
to see Clay, like,
God.
Clay, like, fell, and then he kind of stayed there for a bit.
Yeah,
you're like, oh my God, I just killed our quarterback.
I know, and I felt bad. Like, he's running around, they're trying to make plays, and he's running after Clay to try to make a block or whatever. And it's just, it sucked. It did. So you feel for those guys, but the Rams were moving the ball. They were moving the ball against San Jose State, and they covered. They covered the spread. I did not think that was going to happen, and they found a way to do it. So we're going to talk to Clay Millen about this one. And, dude, let's give Clay Millen a little shout-out here, dude, because it's not easy to pop on and talk about losses, especially when you're a freshman quarterback. And he does it with grace every single week. He loves it, enjoys it, and loves getting out there to the listeners. So a shout-out to him, man. A lot of respect for that guy. And I think that kind of stuff's just going to pay off for Clay down the road. The Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, is coming up next.